sa saya kringa bilingua aprenda idiomas.
No sería la gringa bilingüe.
Ay, cachate.
Come along for the ride.
Hola, hola a todos. Soy Emily Esperanza con La Gringa Bilingua y hoy tengo el honor de entrevistar a Isabel Brazón, que es músico, maestra de idiomas y fundadora de Baila Baila, que es una compañía dedicada a enseñar el español a niños con música y danza. Hola, Isabel, muchas gracias por unirte hoy y estar con nosotros.
No, muchas gracias a ti por invitarme.
Claro, es un gusto entrevistarte y charlar contigo, así que gracias. Bueno, ahora vamos a cambiar a inglés. We're going to switch to English so that all our English speakers here can understand. But we just wanted to put in a little bit of Spanish kind of to hear everything. I like when I have guests on, I like to hear kind of their unique accents. And where are you from, Isabel?
Venezuela.
Venezuela. So I don't think we've heard a Venezuelan accent here yet. So now we got that in. So I'm really interested to know about how you started, first of all, with just music. So has music always been a big part of your life? Were there any musical artists in particular that inspired you?
I wanted to be a musician since I was very, very little. I want to say like maybe when I was in second grade is when I expressed interest. Third grade, then I said I want to play an instrument. So they put me on just music theory. And then, of course, when it got to an instrument, which was piano, everybody always started with recorder, then they go to percussion. I wanted to play an instrument very badly. So my mom said, why don't you choose an instrument that you can take to places? In Venezuela, we have this small instrument that looks like an ukulele, and it's a cuatro. It has four strings. And it's one of our traditional instruments. Do you hear it all around our traditional music? So she put me on those classes, but then it was kind of hard, a hassle to go to those classes. So I learned the very basics and I just left it alone and I kept singing. And I just loved to sing all my life. And then eventually when I turned 15, I kept my mom's idea of an instrument that you can take to places. So I learned how to play the guitar. And because I had the whole music theory training and the choir and classical music and all that, I said, well, let me learn classical guitar. So my thought was, if I know how to play classical guitar, I can play any genre. But then, I mean, in terms of inspiration, now that I create music for children, and I have some music of my own that is not just for kids, it's everything, literally like every influence is in Spanish. Jorge Drexler. He's a Uruguayan singer-songwriter. I love singer-songwriters, but all my life, like the biggest singer-songwriter that I remember singing as a little kid, like if I understood the lyrics and everything, Franco De Vita, he's Venezuelan as well. And then I grew up going, I canta cuentos, it's called in Spanish. So someone who sings a story. I grew up going to the outdoors of these theaters back home. And the kids will sit down and this old man would come and he would sing you a story, narrate a story with like amazing, like corporal body language. It's very theatrical, very amazing. There was a lot of theater in my life, but that was like giant. It was called Cuentos de la Vaca Azul. Loved them. Then I, as a teenager, I started working for another man who was also a cantacuento, which I guess, I don't know how to say in English. One of those words, right? After this, we all have to like research.
We should have a word in English for that, but I don't think that we do.
And so I worked for one, and he was also my theater director. And I always look up to him because what he would do with his guitar and his voice, and the kids were just loving it. So I said, it's not that I said one day I want to be one, but he was the main inspiration for that. Also, I loved as a kid and even as an adult, traditional music, Venezuelan music. There's this group called Serenata Guayanesa. The arrangements of voices, they make all the sounds of the instruments with their voice. It's not a cappella. They also play instruments on top of that. But it's just beautiful harmonies. And everyone from my country who listened to them, loved them. I can talk forever. I learned how to play the guitar because of this singer-songwriter too from Cuba called Silvio Rodriguez. He's a trovador. Not necessarily I agree with many of the things that they will sing about because he's a communist. But anyone from my generation and older would say, oh, yeah. And then, of course, you got the Latin rhythm, Xylophone Liz Guerra. She's one of the best singer-songwriters, musician, composer, producer. There's so much to learn from that man. So pretty much the some of the stuff that I thought about to with you.
That's a great answer. Yeah. And I love how you have so many different influences from so many different countries and kind of styles. I think that's really great. Like you have a really diverse background and I love that. So thank you for sharing all of that with us. And I love what you're doing, how you've kind of taken that background of music and you're using it to teach kids Spanish, which is something really beautiful. I know you give concerts and classes for kids. You do some mommy and me classes so the parents can come and, you know, enjoy the classes with their kids. And you have albums on Spotify as well, which is something really cool. So, and I saw in one of your interviews in the past that you have your own child, right? You have your own family and the program has even helped your child to speak some more Spanish at home, which is something that's really amazing. So I was wondering, are most of your students coming from bilingual homes like yours where they're already hearing Spanish at home, but might just need a little, you know, more push to speak it, you know, instead of English at times? Or do you also have some kids learning completely from scratch who don't even have any background?
The main core of my program is to introduce children to Spanish with that, making it appealing, making it fun, right? So through music, and I call it, I always say creative techniques. Why? Because sometimes we do art, sometimes we read books, sometimes we just move around and play games. So just making it very, very, very fun. I do have two kids, and they both speak Spanish, and the families that come to visit us every week are not necessarily Spanish speaking families. They are somewhat like me, where my husband is from Wisconsin, I'm Venezuelan, I'm raising bilingual kids. We got some of that. But to be honest, and I don't know if you know this, but we're in LA, and in LA, pretty much everybody has a Spanish-speaking nanny, and everybody wants their kids to speak Spanish. It's like fashionable, you know? So it's like, oh, it's cool, your kids speak Spanish. So yeah, it's definitely a thing here. More towards LA, towards the west part of LA, in the South Bay. There's a lot of immersion programs. There is a lot of bilingual schools and after school programs. It's just like an LA culture kind of thing. And so I get a lot of people who are just Americans, who parents don't even speak it, just the nanny speaks it. And then they support it by sending them to programs like mine or by sending them to bilingual or immersion schools. It's just very, very important, which I truly love it. Like, I really love how diverse the communities are here, even though racially they're not, they have nothing to do with a Latin background, but they want their kids to learn another language. And I think we got many other cultures too, not just Spanish, but I think that bilingualism is just very important in this community. So I get mostly Americans, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's really cool. I mean, just because being bilingual, that's such a gift, especially here in the US where Spanish is, like, you know, it's spoken so much. I walk down the street even here in Connecticut and I hear people speaking Spanish. So being able to learn that, and even if you're not of Hispanic descent, being able to speak that language and connect with all those people, it's really a beautiful thing and it opens so many opportunities. So I think it's really great what you're doing. And I imagine obviously that getting to see these kids grow in their abilities to speak Spanish, even if they're just starting completely from scratch, I imagine that's really rewarding for you. So I was wondering if you can think of any really positive experiences or great stories that have stuck with you and have kind of shown you the impact of your work.
Best experience I can tell is my own kids. I stimulate my children heavily and in a good way. They do baila from age zero. So they're listening to my music all the time. They are constantly, we're constantly painting, reading books they both love to read. So anyways, the program in the first 5 years of life, what I am seeing results in, which is super interesting and I love it and I want to keep living this moment because it's very cool, is to see that language, literature, math comes easy to him. Music comes easy to him. Academics, he's really good at academics. So I truly think that all this musical language background has helped him in academics. No, I'm not saying just speaking Spanish and English. No, in everything. They learn so many things. They're not learning just a language. They're learning to wait for their turns. They're learning to respect people's spaces. They're learning to share. They're learning to clean up. So I think that overall stimulation makes them more a whole individual, right? And so when I do see kids after many years of not seeing them when they were babies, I do see that they are doing great at school. I do see that they took a musical career. So it's kind of cool to see that they're musically inclined. That's what I meant. Well, musically inclined, or that they're doing great in academics. It's always, it kind of goes together. And the one thing that they have in common, it's my program. So I want to say that that's been a big giant influence on those kids.
Yeah, that's, and it's scientifically proven too that, I mean, those two things, learning languages and learning music, they can help you in all in math and, you know, in writing and reading. So it's really a great thing to give those kids, even if they're not going to be musicians or they're not going to speak Spanish all the time, it can give them those skills for later life that really shapes them.
My 7-year-old is learning how to play the piano. So he's learning how to read music. It comes easy. Like, I'm learning too. I'm relearning music theory because I never really do it. And I finally learned how to play the piano. And it's hard. And for him, it's just like, whoop.
Yeah, because he has that background of working his brain in those ways. So it's really, really awesome. And you also have albums on Spotify, which I think is really cool. So the kids can listen to those even when they're not in your program, or even if they're not going to your program, they can find those. I saw your latest album was called Maracas, no? So I want to know, what was the process of writing and recording those songs like? Because I imagine that it's kind of different to sing songs for kids and write songs for kids than to write songs for adults. So tell me kind of how they're different.
Well, most of those songs that you heard, especially in that album, Maracas, are songs that are created sitting down in the ground playing with kids. Like, I grab, you're a musician, so I grab a 3-chord progression and I just make it into, let's learn about the weather. And boom, and a melody comes out and I start repeating it and repeating it. And then I go to my car and then I have to record this because it was awesome, because the kid loved it, because it works. And then I keep hearing it in my car and he said, maybe I can add this verse and I can add this letter, you know, and then boom, boom, boom. And it keeps like growing. Now, what I do keep in mind always when writing music for kids is one, that it has to be catchy. Right? It has to be a melody that's catchy. Two, that it has to be contemporary. I need to study what kids are hearing these days, you know, not what was appealing to you or even to me. It's going to be good for the new kids, right? But I also really try to keep in mind to make it very universal, because I don't want my music to be for Latin kids. I don't want my music to be for certain kind of, I want everyone to feel identified with my music. And then simple lyrics that are very repetitive, that repeats throughout. So that is what makes it successful in the learning, in a learning environment. So any teacher can grab this song and says, okay, I need a song about body parts. Well, this song teaches these 5 body parts and it repeats it 15 times throughout the song while the kid is moving around and they have no idea they repeated the word 15 times. So, you know, that's kind of like the way I write for kids. All those elements needs to be present. And I keep it short, not too long. So versus, which is interesting that you asked me this, because I already wrote a new album that that will be the one I want to record this year, that has a lot of lyrics. The songs have a lot of words. They are more poetic. They are more of a, yeah, that they have more to it. And the reason why is because there's songs that I wrote to my kids. So I'm not interested in teaching anyone how to say anything. I'm sending my children a message. I am writing about the experience of being a mother of two boys. I'm writing about what they like and about that love, about those feelings. So it's a special one. It's a personal project kind of deal. But you know, a lot of people probably will feel identified with it. And I will throw some of the others teaching.
Yeah, them of course.
But yeah, so when I write, of course, when I write my own songs for my kids or for love or for the world, the phrase that I want to write, I obviously have other feelings and there have a lot more lyrics to it and a lot more structure and longer songs. So,
yeah, wow, that's awesome. I'm excited to hear those songs for your kids. That's really sweet. So I love that. And I'm sure a lot of parents out there will love to hear songs that maybe they can play for their children or show them to them. So that's really awesome. And I know that your business is obviously centered around teaching kids to learn a language, but I think that it's something that all ages can kind of think about, is using music in their language learning. So, I mean, what would you say about the importance of including music when trying to learn a new language? Or do you have any tips for people of all ages to do what you're doing?
Absolutely. And I used to tutor adults too. And depending on their level, I would say like, oh, I have a really good song for this specific grammar theme, right? And we'll go over the song, sometimes translating it, sometimes just learning it, sometimes explaining expressions. I think learning through songs is just absolutely fabulous. It just depends on the song that you choose, right? First of all, choosing something that a genre that you really like. Choosing a song that's on your level, that's not going to frustrate you. Definitely, I totally support learning through music when it's done properly, when it's not done in a way that will frustrate you as a student, right? And how do you don't know that really. But one of the things that I always tell my students, my adult students, when they are very motivated and they really, really want to learn the language, is like, listen to Spanish music. Look up the genre that you like of music and listen to those songs in Spanish. You're going to find yourself understanding one word, then two words, then a sentence, then the whole song. And it's like a big achievement. What I would say, turn on the TV while you're home. Something that you like, of course. Always something that you like, not just whatever. Yes. And then again, you're going to just start. First of all, first is going to be noise. Second, you're going to learn. You're going to hear a word. Oh, and then you repeat the word and you're excited. And then that word came with another word and now you know. And then it's a whole sentence, and then it's a whole paragraph, whatever it is. It's just so good because it really trains your ear. It really trains your ear to get used to that language, because the way we teach Spanish and the way you confront Spanish in the real life is not the same. You learn all these great grammar stuff, and then when you go out there and then somebody from Uruguay tells you something, you're like, but I thought you knew Spanish. Or I feel like, and I'm telling you this from my own experience.
Yeah, definitely.
I learned English and then I was thrown in the water. But yeah, choosing what's good for your level, I would say, and choosing something that else, of a genre that you like. And definitely use music. It's fun.
100%. Yeah, I mean, like, I started listening to songs. I started in middle school. I was watching these Disney telenovelas, Soy Luna and Violeta. And I know, like, I love telling people, because, like, in America, no one knows what those series are, but, like, Hispanic people always know. Because I tell people here, I'm like, yeah, I like Soy Luna. They're like, what is that? But, yeah, like, they have songs on those shows. So that's kind of how I learned most of my Spanish. I mean, I did it in school for 10 years, but like you were saying, I knew the grammar. But when I was thrown with a native, I couldn't say anything. I couldn't form words. So listening to the music and singing the music, I got my pronunciation and kind of the flow. So it helps.
I don't know if this happened to you, but for me, of course, because American European music is so famous throughout everywhere in the world, right? And then you listen to these songs, you like them, but you never know what they're saying. So now that I speak English, every single time I tell my husband, it's like, oh, I never knew that that song was talking about that.
Yeah, it happens now too, especially with like reggaeton. Like, I'm like, ooh,
I don't go there. I hate that song.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always asking my husband, it's like, why did they say this isn't that in that song? Like, what does that mean? Expressions. Oh, it's so good for expressions. It's amazing to learn idioms through songs. It's the
definitely
best.
Because it's like natural. Because I remember in school, what they were teaching me was like formal Spanish from Spain. So I was learning all these things that I'm not going to use any. Yeah, I was learning like vosotros and like, you know, all this stuff that I was never going to use. And I didn't know any slang words. I didn't know any of the different accents. And yeah, it was. So that's when I started to get good, was listening to the music and saying, oh, this person is from Mexico, so she uses this word. Or this person's from Colombia, so like she has this, you know. So that's 100% what you said. Yeah. So I'm glad that you said that about kind of starting with the music and understanding one word and then two words and then, you know, a whole sentence. Because I did an episode, I think two episodes ago, my podcast was How to Learn Spanish with Music. And I think you reiterated a lot of what I said. So thank you.
Fantastic. I'm going to give you a song.
Please.
That you can use. You can use in your podcast. You can use it yourself. Because it's one of those songs that you hear, and you hear this story. It's Alejandro Sanz, which is one of my other giants. And he talks about something, but you really don't know. So I like to, for my advanced students, I'll give him this song. He said, the guy, what do you think the guy was?
And I'll put it in the description of the podcast so they can listen.
It will be your homework.
Yes, for everyone who's listening, you have homework. Your Spanish teacher gave you homework. So you gotta listen to the song. Wow, that's awesome. So yeah, I just love everything you're doing with Baila Baila. And if anyone's in the Los Angeles area and you have kids, you can feel free to look her up and send them over to Baila Baila for classes. But I'm just wondering, Isabel, what is coming next for your business? Is there anything that you haven't done yet with Baila Baila that you're looking forward to doing in the future? Do you have anything planned?
To continue defending bilingualism. To continue sending my message to families, and definitely getting my music out there. That's like the biggest goal I have this year. I want people to listen to my music, and every musician probably wants that. And literally, I don't need to be famous. I don't want to. Literally, I just want to help educators. I want to help students. I want to help parents, families, children with the biggest thing. I love children with the biggest goal. Sorry. You know, like in Spanish, everything is a thing. We all say cool
circles. And it doesn't sound weird. And then you say it in English and it doesn't. Yeah.
It's from you just now because it sounded like I don't know words. Like, I don't like. I don't know. So that's my correct.
But you do. You just know too many words.
Yeah, right? Anyways. But definitely, that's one thing I want to do. So I want to learn how to use social media to my advantage to reach my personal goals. I would love to record my fifth album. Wow, I didn't even know how many I have.
Wow.
Which is my personal one that I wrote for my kids. Every album of mine has a color. This one is going to be the green album. I love green because the album is going to be for me. And I've never done such a thing. I want to record more videos. I do have a new series that I'm developing with a friend, where we teach through music, through storytelling, and see a storyteller. That's what it is. Canta cuento.
Yeah.
No, but it's not
because it's not that they're singing.
Hard.
Yeah, okay. There's no word. That's why you've got to learn Spanish so that you can use the words that they don't have in English.
Yeah, exactly. I want to that series through storytelling. So we read books and then we do art. And so with that, we started with the idea, we recorded it, and then we come up with this amazing result, right? The product that came out of that was of high quality. At the beginning, right, we were trying, it wasn't too good. Then the second batch of videos, I told my friend, you know, this is really good quality. I'm very proud of it. I'm really proud of the concept. We can polish it even more. We keep wanting to improve it. But I told her, I'm not going to sit on this one. You know how many ideas you sit on and you don't develop? Yes. So this year, even if I don't develop that to the point where I want it, I do want to work on developing that idea. I've made videos for YouTube, music videos. I've written many videos. We have videos that are not even edited that we recorded. And we haven't really acted on that. So this year, I really want to act on that. So it's more of it's a year to act on my ideas. The pandemic is not allowing me to do shows. The pandemic is not allowing me to have many classes. Being a mother of two children is not allowing me to be a business owner. So my priority right now are my kids. And so I am going to try my best to develop what I can digitally and learn about how to do that. So that's where I'm at this year mostly.
Wow, that's awesome. So it sounds like you have a lot of great things planned for this year. I can't wait to hear the album you were talking about, and we'll all get to see. Everyone who's listening, you can follow Baila Baila on Instagram. I'll put her Instagram in the description of the podcast. You can follow along. And of course, once again, if you're in the Los Angeles area and you want to look into some classes, you can definitely contact Baila Baila. So thank you. Yes, and the song.
This song is called
The Song.
Siempre es de noche.
Siempre de noche, okay.
By Alejandro Sanz.
Okay, so everyone, I'm going to put the link to that song in the description so we can all listen and we can all learn together. And you can message me on Instagram if you liked the song. Yeah.
You cannot see the video. You have to listen to the song.
Okay, so no cheating.
No cheating. Listen to the song, translate it if you have to, and tell me tell Emily what characteristic does the main person that's talking has. What is it?
All right, and I'm gonna try it too. I'm ready for a challenge. So thank
maybe
you.
Maybe not a challenge for you, but when I learned about it, even when I asked a Spanish speaker, I was saying, "Oh, that guy was okay. I get it."
Well, thank you for the homework. I'm very excited to listen to this song, and I hope that everyone else will too, and let us know if you know the answer to the question about the song that I'm going to link. But yeah, thank you so much, Isabel. Muchas gracias por unirte y por hablar con nosotros. Ha sido un placer hablar contigo y aprender tanto de Baila Baila y cómo enseñas español con música, así que muchísimas gracias otra vez.
A ti, muchísimas gracias por invitarme. Cuando quieras hacer un especial con ideas, con canciones, algo más interactivo, te lo juro que acá estamos a la orden siempre. Y bueno, muchísimas gracias.
Gracias por escuchar La Gringa Bilingua Podcast. Check back every other week for new episodes and follow me on Instagram @TheEmilyEsperanza.